Hey, hey, welcome back. Season 5 of Cream City Dreams. I'm your host, Megan Schultz, and I am back interviewing another incredible Milwaukee woman living her dream. Today, it's Harmony Baker of Milwaukee Youth Theater. I say to people all the time, Milwaukee is such a great city to raise kids, in part because it has programs like this and organizations like the Milwaukee Youth Theater that give opportunity to all children. I love that emphasis that we have in this city of making sure that things are accessible and available and affordable to everyone. So I'm excited to share this episode of Cream City Dreams with you. And perhaps you might find some inspiration to support the Milwaukee Youth Theater, see one of their productions, perhaps donate. Whatever you feel moved to do to make sure that these kinds of organizations continue to exist in our city for our kids. All right, join me in welcoming Harmony Baker. Today on the podcast, I'm excited because we've got the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Theater, Harmony Baker. But something tells me, Harmony, that you are more than just the executive director. You're probably a set designer, a costume designer, maybe hair and makeup. I don't know. But I'm excited to have you on because you were a listener requested guest. And I've also had a good friend of mine. Her daughter has been in one of your productions, Holly Habig. You might know her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And she sent me a text this morning that said, Harmony rocks. Have fun. So anyway, welcome to Cream City Dreams. Excited to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. And I also feel a little bit of like I share a little bit with this organization, not really this organization per se, but theater, children's theater in general, because that was my jam in high school. I wasn't a sporty kid. I was a theater kid. I was head of the costume crew for a few years for the musicals, and I never had any huge parts. I was like hot box girl number 3. And, you know, yeah. but my claim to fame is that I went to high school with Adam Scott, who, you know, has gone on to do all sorts of Hollywood thing. So I saw firsthand the difference that theater can make in children's lives and kids' lives and the wonderful things that it has to offer in terms of confidence and, you know, and this is a podcast about dreams. So I know, you know, some people get into theater thinking that they will be Hollywood stars, but you know, more than that, I feel like what it offers kids is this opportunity to be included and to feel seen. And I guess I wanted to talk, have you talked just a little bit about Milwaukee Youth Theater, just to give our listeners who might not be familiar with it. I think
sure.
If I said I'm interviewing Milwaukee Youth Theater, they might automatically go to First Stage. And this is
absolutely
not First Stage, right? This is
no.
Milwaukee Youth Theater. And I'd like to hear from you. Tell us.
Yeah. So Milwaukee Youth Theater is like this little hidden secret of Milwaukee. We've been around for over 30 years. I want to say we're on our 34th year now. I'd have to do the math on that to see if I'm right. But anyway, we were founded in 1992 by some school teachers, some public school teachers down in the Bayview area. Started out in a storefront. Then they started performing over at the Avalon Theater, actually. So they were performing out of the Avalon for a couple of years. And then we became artists in residence over at Lincoln Center of the Arts, which is a middle school, 6th through 8th grade.
Yeah.
Yes. Right on the east side. We've been there for, I want to say, about 26 years now. So what we offer to Milwaukee youth is free theater experiences where students can jump on a production that we're doing, and they can learn set design, set building, costume design, stitching, stage management, directing, learn how to create and build props, light design, sound design, and the controlling of all the technology that goes behind that, as well as acting. So what we want to do is we want to incorporate students between the ages of 8 and 18 into every aspect of theater production. So not just on stage, but into everything, because it doesn't matter if you're an actor or not, you have something to say and something to contribute to our story. And so that's what our whole goal is, you know, to have students doing everything, collaborating together to make our stories richer and more interesting and more beautiful.
Oh, I love that. So it really is for the children, by the children.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that is so cool. So do you have little 8-year-olds running the lights in your show?
Yes, we have actually had. We've had to get a little bit more nuanced in our age ranges. So if you're 8, we like to start you out on props, designing the props for the shows. But we have had 10-year-old stage managers. And let me tell you, there's nothing cuter than a 10-year-old stage manager.
Oh my gosh, I could see my son loving that. That's so fun. So who are the people? Obviously, you're the executive director. Who else is with you directing these kiddos?
Right. So for each production, I hire a team of mentors to work with the students in each of the different areas. And it changes. So there could be different people working on each show. I'm always there working on the shows in some capacity. Okay. So for instance, the current one I'm directing, and the last one I kind of artistic directed. But there are, you know, so I'm always there. I'm like a fixture. And we have some people that will be there for the whole season and some people who will come and go. They'll do a show, then disappear for a while because, you know, they all have real jobs as well that support their families. But like one of our regulars is Dima Pochterev from the New State. He has been working with our sound kids. He started working with our sound and light, and now he's just doing sound with our students. So he teaches them sound design and how to run the boards and all. And he has been with us for 3 years now. So, you know, we have some people that are more regular than others, but a lot of our people come from the University of Milwaukee, from the Peck School of the Arts, or from other, we had some people from the Marquette Theater Department, Next Act, some folks from who have worked over at Next Act. So all around the theater community in Milwaukee. Yeah.
So it's a real collaborative effort to get
it is, yeah.
On stage. That's so cool. Tell us a little bit about the process of choosing your shows. How do you decide what shows you'll run?
Well, the shows that we did this season, for the first time ever, we have a student advisory board, and they sat down and picked our shows for the current season. Mm. They met here at my house. Of course, I have veto power. Of course I do, because, you know, I can't let them get all crazy. We are a very small budget, right? So we can't do these big Disney shows. And honestly, nor would I want to. I want to do more nuanced shows than that. But we sat down here, we presented, they each had like a list that they had to do some research on, and they came with particular shows that they were interested in. I presented some shows, and then we had a whole voting system afterwards. And so this current season, I'm trying to remember what we did. We did our first musical since 2016. So that was really cool. A little known musical called The Snow Queen. Based on the Hans Christian Andersen story. Then we did The Day the Waters Came about Hurricane Katrina. We are currently doing I Never Saw Another Butterfly about the children of the Tyrosin concentration camp during World War II. And that was a big push by one of our one of the students on the student advisory board, who she just really wanted to do this show. And, you know, it's a beautiful show. So I'm really glad that it was voted in. And then the last show of the season is a devised piece that the students, a collection of 10, 11 students are working on creating and writing together called Lost Tales. Lost Tales 2. So it's our second collection of Lost Tales from around the world.
Oh, cool. So you take stories that exist, but rewrite them and bring them into the Milwaukee community, yeah. like for our community. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. That's what we do. It's cool. A lot of fun.
Yeah. And so do you take these shows then to schools? Do people come to Lincoln or how does the community see these shows?
Right. So we are still at Lincoln Center of the Arts, but mostly over there we do our building. So our costume team meets over there. Our set team was meeting over there. Props meets over there. And our second space is at Church in the City over on Hackett, which is kind of by the old Downer Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it used to be a Masonic Lodge. So on the second floor, there is a theater space. It's more like probably a lecture hall than a theater. But we've converted that. And so we perform publicly there. So we do about 5 performances over a weekend to the public. And then that Sunday after our final performance, the students will load up everything into a big van that we rent. And then starting Monday, we will travel to local schools and elder care facilities and perform for those places. And we do that for about 4 days. And then we wrap it up with a party.
Oh, fun. A cast party. Love it. Yes, yes. I remember those well. How do the kids... How do you choose the kid? Do they come from all over the city? Are there specific schools you recruit at, or everyone's welcome?
Yeah, everyone is welcome. I think the last show that we did, the last show we did was a very small show. Only had 4 cast members. And I think the production team was another 6 students. But the show before that, I think, would be more of an average. I think we had about 40 different schools represented from those students.
Oh, wow.
Right. They're from all different. They're from public, parochial, charter, some homeschooled kids. You know, they're from all over the Milwaukee area, all different schools.
Oh, cool. Cool. Mm-hmm. And how do you choose which schools you take the shows to? Like, could I get our principal on the horn to get you over to my kid's school?
You can. You absolutely can. I send out emails. I do a MailChimp push to the schools, and it really is who contacts me and says, hey, we want to bring you here. That's really what it comes down to.
And there's a fee for bringing them to your school.
There is. Because, you know, we have to make money somehow.
Sure.
to keep our programming free for our students. We charge ticket prices, and we do charge for our tours as well. It's a small fee, and we give discounts to any school that wants us to come. We will come. No matter what, we will make it work. So if money is the barrier, it should never be with us. We'll make it work.
Okay. And do the schools have to have a theater? A stage, or can you?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. We have performed in a basement. Oh my goodness. That was a small basement. Maybe it was 15 by 20. It was not a very big space. We've performed in churches on a stage, you know, which is great, but it's usually on a gym floor that we're performing. And that's what the kids are used to. I mean, that's part of their training as well, to be able to set up, perform, and swivel, right? Just be able to switch on a dime what they did the day before.
Yeah.
Their lines remain the same. The blocking has to change for whatever location we're at, and they need to make it work. And they do. They do. Yeah. They become very creative with how they make things work.
What a skill, and like what a beautiful translatable skill to real life. Because isn't that just life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so how did you, let's talk a little bit about you. How did you get into this? You're a theater major or theater arts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Went to Peck School of the Arts. Yes. How did I get into this? Well, I always loved theater. I grew up in a family that went to the theater a lot. I loved old movies, which are very theatrical in that the old movies, most of them were based on plays, right? I mean, that's just how it was. So it was like watching plays, those old AMC TNT movies, you know, with Clark Gable. And, you know, I loved those. Did some theater in grade school, of course, did theater in high school. And I, too, worked on the costumes in high school and college. So I was on stage, but I also was behind the scenes as well. I loved working on costumes. I didn't really have dreams to go into theater. That was never a dream of mine. But I can't honestly say that this probably sounds terrible, that I had dreams, you know, for myself, like big anything. I was just, whatever happened with my life, and that was fine, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good. So I think if I were to say if I had any dream for my life, it would be connection and community, because I was a child that very much lacked connection and didn't know how to connect with people. And I saw it happening on stage so easily, and I wanted what I saw in the plays for my own life, right? And I think that's what drew me to theater. That's what drew me to books, is the relationships and how much I wanted that. And I didn't know how to do that. But it seemed like if I could be in a play, I can manufacture that somehow and make it a reality. So that's what drew me to theater always. And then I actually did connect with somebody, my husband. I finally connected with somebody and was able to make that happen and form a relationship like that. I had my daughter, and when she was around 8, she wanted to start. She was really interested in theater, of course. And I started looking around for some place for her to do theater. And everything I was finding was really expensive for us at the time. It was very expensive. For a lot of people, it is. Let's be real about that.
Yeah.
And then I happened to run into this really horrible, horrible website for Milwaukee Youth Theater. And you could tell, you knew, looking at this website, you knew this place is completely run by volunteers. You just knew it, right? It was that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it drew me because it said free. And I was like, okay, we can afford that. So I started looking at their pictures, and I was like, okay, I will definitely take her and get her involved with this place, but I am not putting her on stage in those costumes. So I contacted them and I said, would you like a costume designer? And they, of course, said yes. And so So I took her over there. She started doing theater with them, and I started building all their costumes. So that's how my relationship with MYT was born. I was with them I did costumes for them a number of years until my daughter kind of stopped working with them, because she was in high school. She went to Reagan High School and was doing theater with Reagan at that time. And I got costuming jobs elsewhere. So I was doing a lot of costuming elsewhere. And then I came back to join the board. I became president of the board. My very first board meeting, I got voted board president because it was hysterical, because nobody else wanted to do it.
Isn't that always the way?
Yes.
You made eye contact, and now you're the president.
I made eye contact, right. And I was like, okay, sure. And then COVID hit. And, you know, every theater company was asking themselves the same question about what do we do now? Yeah. And MIT, as small as we are now, we were even smaller then. You know, our budget was, I think at the time, like $20,000 for the year, right? And they were just, you know, we don't know how we're going to keep going. And I saw it as, we have to keep going, especially now. We are needed more than ever. So let's figure this out. We actually built a stage in my backyard. We met at parks. We built a set at a farm and filmed The Secret Garden at a farm.
Oh, wow.
Don't ask to see it because it's horrible, but the kids had so much fun.
Yes.
They had so much fun and they were outside and we were able to continue to keep going. And it just became the executive director at the time, Therese, was looking to retire. And it just kind of was a natural fit that I just kind of flowed into the position.
Yeah.
And they officially voted me in 2022. And that's what I've been doing ever since. So,
Wow. That's so cool. Hear what you were talking about in terms of being able to pivot and being able to think on your feet and switch on a dime. There you go.
Right.
a living example of that. Wow. So was the COVID stuff was really just for the kids. It wasn't meant to be a public display or public facing.
Not really. When we did The Secret Garden was the first thing we did. And we did that as a film, and then the film was released to the families, you know. And I don't know how much they actually watched it. I think it was more about doing it and creating it. It was really interesting being able to build outside and incorporate, especially on a show like The Secret Garden, where we were able to incorporate the outside into all we built actual rooms outside and with tree, and you could see the trees hanging over, you know, hanging over the walls, and you could hear the roosters crowing in the background.
Oh,
and
it's so cool.
Right. It was just very surreal and magical actually to do that.
Yeah.
And then when we built the stage in my backyard, we invited my neighbors in the community. I live in the Pigsville Valley Park neighborhood in Milwaukee. And we invited the community to come view their little performance. It was only a camp that we did back here. And the performance itself was about 20 minutes long. And so we set up, the neighbors brought lawn chairs and set up in the yard and watched and loved it. So had a blast doing that. And not too long after that, we were able to get back inside onto a stage with masks. And then not long after that, you know, the mask mandate was lifted. And so we kept things going. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now you're pretty much back to normal.
Yep.
Okay. It's so interesting what you said about moving towards theater initially because of the connection, you know, and wanting that connection, because that is something that I just remember and was reminded of. I actually took my 6-year-old daughter to see Matilda at Dominican High School.
It was so good. I saw it too.
So good.
So
I was like, dang, this is like high school.
Right.
This is not what my high school production. I mean, they were good. But,
well done, Dominican.
Yes, well done.
Say that.
And
yes.
But I happened to catch we went to the very last performance. And so at the end they had everybody, you know, I don't know who anybody was on stage, except for a few
right.
kids, but like the woman in charge got up and said all her thank yous and then said goodbye to all the seniors and each handed a rose to each. It was a very like ceremonial ritual kind of thing. And I was just reminded of what a community the theater kids were and just how it didn't matter what you looked like or how you dressed or what kind of music, like everyone was welcome in with the theater kids. And this is how it was at my school. And I'm like projecting this on all these kids who I'm watching on stage at Dominican thinking it must be the same. Was that like inclusiveness what you were talking about when you said you were drawn to theater?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not only, I think the problem though, there does come a problem in that it ends. And so after every show, you will have students crying and, you know, and it's their hearts are breaking because this has become their family. And over just 2 months, they form these really tight knit bonds. And I don't think that needs to end. And I don't think it should. I think those relationships and these families that we form, and for some students, these are the tightest family connections that they do form. I don't think it should end. And so I want to keep it going. And that's why we we do continual, you know, productions. We have these four productions a year now. And it's, if you are not in the cast, it doesn't matter. You can jump on any of the other teams and still be able to be there with your friends and with these people that you've made these bonds with. You don't have to just disappear, right? There are so many things to do. Your voice is important. You are important. You have something to contribute. It doesn't have to be. And I feel like many times students feel like if they're not on stage, then they're not doing anything, right? And that's just not the case because everybody is adding their own ideas and their own creativity to the storytelling process. And in fact, when I have students who audition too much, I might say something like, hey, you know, I think it's time for you to jump on one of the production teams because and give, you know, not only give some other students a chance to act, but give yourself a chance to discover that there's more to you than what you think you need to display to everybody, you know, publicly like that.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be one of the people behind the scenes that's encouraging your friends to push themselves forward.
Yes.
In fact, that's a wonderful skill that we can all develop, right? To be the encourager, to be the person who's okay with not being seen and still being active and being the cheerleaders behind the scenes. I think we all need to learn how to do that.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so much. Yeah. I love on your website too that you have you're strong in the diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's a big statement on your website. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. It's really important to me. And we try to make each of our shows multi-ethnic. One, because our schools are so segregated and our communities are. But when we're telling stories and telling stories in Milwaukee, we need to be telling stories for everybody, not just one group or another. And so it becomes even more important that everybody gets a say in what stories we tell and how we are going to tell these stories. So, I would hate. It would be absolutely horrid if I had a cast of all, you know, white children doing the Velveteen Rabbit or something like that, which is a very European story. And we go and perform for an all-Black grade school, for instance. And where are those children going to see themselves on in what we are doing? Where are they going to see themselves and how are they going to be able to picture themselves even doing something remotely like that? So it's very important that we have a good mix of ethnicities, of genders up on the stage. I mean, frequently we get a show of all girls too. That will happen. And I don't like that either, you know, because I want boys to be able to see our stories and be able to see themselves in the story or see themselves doing it. So it's hard, but we have to be very deliberate about seeking students of color out, seeking boys out to audition for us or to be on our, you know, production teams. You have to make an extra effort a lot of times to do that. And it's not just us. I think all theater companies run against this.
Yeah.
You know, you do have to make an effort, but it's worth it.
Yeah. That is why we need to do this extra work of making sure everyone is seen, feels seen,
right.
You know, can be seen. Right. So yeah. So thank you for that. You talked about the other companies a little bit. And I mentioned First Stage when we started to differentiate, but does it feel like this is a competitive city for theater?
No.
Do you work together? Do you support each other?
No, I don't think it's competitive, but that's me. And maybe somebody else will have a different answer. Maybe I just don't feel competitive. I don't know. What we do at what MYT does is different from what everybody else does. So I don't feel like I'm competing against everybody else. We have a lot of our students will do classes at First Stage, or one of our students has been in a number of our shows, is actually a lead right now at First Stage in The Diary of the Wimpy Kid. And we're thrilled for that. First Stage, I don't want to talk about them too much because, you know, this isn't their hour.
No.
But they are wonderful at what they do. They are. I would never say anything bad about First Stage. They are fantastic. But what they do is so different from what we do.
Yeah.
So, and there are definitely people from certain theater communities that I will call on if I need help or advice, you know, or if I'm looking for a particular director or, you know. So there are different theater companies that I will call on and say, hey, you know, and they're very good and very free with giving me help. So,
yeah. And that's so what we found on this podcast, in terms of the support and Shelley and I, she's not with us any longer on this podcast, but my dear friend who I started this with, what we found is that Milwaukee is such a supportive city. Like, people want things to succeed in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for us, in our podcast, whether it was us talking to this woman who started a vegan ice cream company and her talking about how supportive Purple Door and Scratch and all the others were and lifting her up. Or like this, like other theater companies being there for you to call on. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that is just a beautiful thing that makes Milwaukee special, which maybe it wouldn't be, you know, in a big city like Chicago or New York, or, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I've never done theater in those cities, but, you know, who knows?
Me neither.
It could be. So you talked a little bit about the idea of four shows and letting the kids have this family throughout the year. Do you do things in off seasons? Do you do summer camps? Do you do spring break camps? Do you do other things kids could get involved in?
Well, we keep going with our production over spring break. So we keep working. But summertime, we do take a little bit of a break, only because our spaces that we occupy are not set up for summer. So they get very, very hot. The school is not air conditioned. The church where we rent is not air conditioned. Those spaces just get too hot. So we are actually currently looking for a new space. One, because of that. Two, because we're only one of our spaces is handicap accessible. And three, we're outgrowing our spaces. So we need a bigger space, and we need a space that's all our own. So we are currently looking. And when we find something, hopefully we'll be able to do some summer stuff. Our Lost Tales Players, which is our devising theater group, will continue to work over the summer, in that they will perform for some outdoor festivals. Mm. So they'll do one or two stories at an outdoor festival throughout the summer, but there won't be any regular like classes or camps or anything like that. Not until we have the space to do it. Yeah.
Okay. So if any of our listeners might have a heads up on a space that would be available, they should contact you.
They should absolutely contact me. Yes, absolutely.
All right, listeners. I guess maybe, and we do a little rapid fire, if that's okay, at the end. But before I get to that, and you just talked about the space, but what do you need from the city? What would you like from the city? What dreams do you have for the company going forward? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So like I said before, when I took over, I think our budget was like 24,000, you know, I've tripled it, I think, in my first 2 years. But it's still, when you think about that compared to other theater companies, it's not much, right? I am the only full-time staff right now. So, I mean, besides a space of our own where we could start offering more regular classes and workshops and summer camps and stuff like that, I would love to have the money to hire somebody to help me would be great. So, but as far as what I need from the city, you know, just come to our shows, I guess, support us financially. That would be wonderful. We have a couple, we have a wish list on Amazon. You know, we have, I'm trying to think, you know, tools that we need, materials that we need. Donating tools is great. I just bought some new drills and a new power saw for our student set builders. Expertise, people with expertise. If you are a carpenter or a seamstress and you would like to teach some students your skills, that would be amazing. You know, would love to have you join the team. Yeah. And then the space, really, the space is the big thing right now that we're going to be really needing soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And your production teams meet presumably not during school days. So evenings, weekends, is that when you?
We do. Yeah. We meet twice a week in the evening. And that the production teams, it's really up to the team lead or the, I call them the team lead mentor, what days in during the week, what evenings during the week they want to meet. Cause you could kind of base it around your schedule. Actors always meet Mondays and Wednesday evenings. And then we all meet together Saturday mornings. Everybody meets together Saturday mornings at the church in our theater space, which is one of the reasons we need a bigger space. Because when everybody's together, it gets very loud and it's hard to get stuff done. But I think it's really vital. And it's one of the important parts of what we do in that everybody together in one space so that the actors know who's putting light on you, who's building your costume, right? Who's building your set. I want everybody to know each other because there very easily becomes in theater this, you know, hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do away with that. So on Saturday mornings, we are all together in one space. We do some activities together before we break off into our individual groups and we work on our own projects. But it's very important to me that they all know each other and they're all appreciative of what the other person is bringing to the table.
Yeah. Well, again, I that theme of connection is just coming through so that kids really, I mean, especially in this time when, you know, you're hearing all this news about kids being lonely and so disconnected and not having friends and bullied and cyber, you know, and screen addicted and all this, like, this is the antidote, you know, this is, I love it. I love what you're doing with.
And we do take phones away.
Oh.
You know, not all the time, but if we see a child who is on their phone just constantly, it's like, oh, yoink, let me just take that away for a while.
Yes, thank you. Because, it is, it's a different childhood that it was for us growing up. And so it's important for kids to have.
I was talking to somebody the other day and we were talking about, you know, kind of what you and I were talking about childhood and wanting the connection and everything. And I had expressed to her that I had seen a Brady Bunch episode when I was a kid, where the Brady kids built a stage in their backyard. And I wanted that so, so bad when I was a kid. I just, oh, please, will somebody build a stage and perform with me in my backyard? I wanted that. Of course, I got to make that happen, you know, a couple of years ago, which was awesome as an adult. But that's kind of what I would like to get us back to. That's, you know, that's what MYT is about. Let's get back to the playfulness of childhood.
Yes.
You know, I want them also learning skills. Obviously, we are teaching skills that can translate into other jobs, into other, you know, soft skills for adulthood, like communication and leadership and all that. And I want that, but can we have some just innocent fun while that happens? And that's what we're trying to do.
Yes. Oh, I'm excited. I want my kids to get involved. So watch for the Schultz kids coming soon. All right. If you don't mind, I've got a couple rapid fire questions for you, theater related. If I could give you two tickets to any Broadway show right now, where would you go?
That's a terrible question to ask me because I'm so not up to date on anything.
Or any show across time.
across time. Any show across time. You know, I think what you're asking is one of my favorites. So I will say Waitress is one of my top shows. And Man of La Mancha.
Mm. There you go. Two that I've never seen. I'm going to put them on my list now. this might be a similar question. Maybe it would be the same answers, but if you could star in any show, I could give you the lead part.
Oh, goodness. Goodness.
Were you a musical?
I was in musical theater. Okay. Yes. But I'll tell you what, I am not a performer. I don't enjoy performing. It's so weird. Like if I could perform with a couple people on stage, I would enjoy the performance aspect. And once you put an audience in front of me, I will hate it. Mm. I do not want to perform for an audience.
Good to know about yourself.
Yeah. So none. I would happily be the costume designer for multiple shows. Sweeney Todd would love to design for Sweeney Todd. So nice. That's the role I would love to do.
Awesome. Okay. Is there a show that you are trying to bring to Mill or that you would love to see MYT do?
Oh, yes. I always, I'm like, oh, yes. There's a couple things. So one, Joan of Arc would love to do St. Joan with my kids. And I've thought about doing an all-girl production of St. Joan. But as I've said before, we need those boys on stage, so I probably won't. But there is actually an all-girl show that I want to devise with my students. So a couple of years ago, I found a book from the 1950s called Questions Girls Have Asked. And it is hysterical and sad at the same time. Mm. And I would love to take a group of girls and devise a show from this book because it's the most ridiculous questions you have, you know, oh, you know, why can't I be popular? And, you know, just like, what's up with emotions? Just yes. Like silly questions. And it's just like, oh my goodness, really? And I think that some of our girls would just get a kick out of it. And I think it would be such a funny show to devise with them. So that's one of the things on the back burner for coming.
All right. You heard it here first, listeners. and I'd like to end with a couple questions. Is there a woman in Milwaukee that you see as living her dream that inspires you, that you admire?
Oh, so hard to say that because, you know, you never know what's going on behind the scenes of whether somebody's living their dream or not. But somebody I very much admire would be Sherry Williams-Pennell. Who is the artistic director of the Bronzeville Arts Ensemble.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think you should talk to Sherry.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Do you know her personally?
I do. She was actually one of my instructors at Peck School of the Arts. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
And she's one of those people that I call on when I need help.
Yeah. Good. Oh, good. And my last question is, if we have listeners out there who are sitting on a dream, haven't done anything with their dream yet, haven't acted on it. Do you have any advice for them?
I think that they need to find their cheerleader. I think it's really hard to take action on a dream unless you have somebody in your corner.
Yes.
Telling you, you can do it. So, you know, and I, it's just not that you can't do it on your own, but find your community, find those people that build you up and push you.
Mm. Yes, I love that. I love that. Well, Harmony, it sounds like you do that for the children in your theater company and the people that you surround yourself with. It sounds like you are the cheerleader for them. So thank you for what you're doing for our city, for these kids. for theater in general, for keeping kids off their phones and getting them connected to each other. And thanks so much. Thank you for taking the time. Let's just real quick, if people want to find out more, your website is?
MilwaukeeYouthTheater.org. And the tricky thing here is that the theater is spelled the pretentious way, which is R-E and not E-R.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. MilwaukeeTheater.org.
MilwaukeeTheater.org.
Yes.
I will put that in our show notes. Are you on any other socials, or where are you most active that they would find the most current?
Well, Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's where,
I'll link those in my show notes as well. And also, the next upcoming play is the first weekend in May, and they can get tickets on your website.
Mm-hmm. I Never Saw Another Butterfly. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. My my 12-year-old has gotten very fascinated by the Holocaust, and we went just in DC for spring break, and he and I went to the Holocaust Museum. And so I really want to, it was very hard, but I was really impressed with how slowly and carefully and thoughtfully he went through it. So I think he'll really love this production. I'm excited to hopefully bring him to that in May. So thank you so much. Best of luck to you with everything you have coming up, and we will be following your journey. And I will be linking to your donate button too, so that if listeners are inspired, they can donate. And
I appreciate that. Yes. Thank you so much.
Oh, what a fun interview. I want my kids to get involved in MYT, Milwaukee Youth Theater. I just loved what she said about connection, that feeling of just belonging. I think that is what is missing sometimes from schools and, you know, from youth right now who are maybe so overscheduled or in front of screens or burnt out or stressed out. You know, I think our kids need more opportunity to feel like they belong somewhere. And my goodness, is the theater experience good for that? Because like she talked about, there are so many different ways to get involved and so many different ways to feel like what you did, whether it's building a set or designing a costume or lighting a stage, that matters. That matters just as much as the people who are on stage acting. So I love that their focus is really inclusivity and representation. I think that's super important. So kudos to everything that they are doing over at Milwaukee Youth Theater. Make sure you get yourself to a show. Check out their website for what they've got coming up. I will post links to all of that in our show notes. And just a reminder, I do send out a weekly newsletter when we are in season that has some additional bonus things. I'm trying to make those special for those of you who are subscribed. So if you're listening to this and you're not subscribed, would you please do me the favor of subscribing? You can do that at the website, creamcitydreams.com. I would love to have you on the list. Also, because I'm not a huge fan of social media either, so I'm trying to stay off the Instagram and the Facebook unless I have to. So that is where I hope to do more of my communicating with our community of dreamers, which is what I'm calling our subscribers. So creamcitydreams.com to subscribe, and tune in next week when I will have another incredible Milwaukee woman on the podcast living her dream in the Cream City. Until then, Milwaukee, keep on dreamin'.